Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the formula of concord, looking at Article 5 on Law and Gospel. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here. Go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are back at it, and in this arc of episodes, we're going to record our 400th episode.
Yeah, this is 399.
399.
Spoiler alert, next week will be 400, and we're not doing a single thing special for at all.
That's
would never even know.
Mention it.
If you want to make a cake and eat it yourself, that's fine to celebrate.
I think, actually, I give better than even odds that we will forget by the time we record the next episode.
Yes.
This is a good episode, though. This is a great way to celebrate 400. Yeah. This is by far my favorite article of the formula. I love it. The whole concept of law and gospel has been such a transformative thing for my relationship with Christ, how he revealed himself to me as the one who is only responsible for my salvation. And it all came from this very article right here. And I said before the podcast began, I said to the guys, I said, this is by far my favorite. I said, the justification one is fine. But at the end of the day, we already got that back in Augsburg. You know, I mean, we've already taken care of that. This is articulated better here than maybe anywhere else in Lutheran writing.
Yeah.
And I don't apologize for saying that. C.F.W. Walther.
You have to say what you did say, though. You said, I don't care for justification or something like that.
I didn't say that I didn't care for justification, Brett. You're trying to get us letters. Angry letters. That's all you're trying to do. Clickbait, if you will.
Last time I saw you this excited was when we went to Buffalo Wild Wings for Wing Thursdays and you were just ready to go. So that's great. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. Good. Yeah, so as Adam has said, we are talking about the Formula of Concord, Article 5, and it's about law and gospel. And so we'll just start here.
You want to maybe read part of the article there, Jeebs? Did you pull it up? I got to stall now?
Yeah, stall.
The pattern of our episode recording that we've done for the past 8 years.
I totally blew it.
All right. Well, we'll keep talking about it.
Way to go.
Hopefully you can say next episode, way to... You totally redeem yourself.
So you want me to just read it for you?
Yeah, go for it.
From my own memory, you know?
you just dropped the ball like a Cowboys receiver.
I have a whole bunch of screen grabs.
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
No, what were we going to say?
No, I was going to say, I have a whole bunch of them like I use in class. And when I'm teaching law and gospel to my students, I read these words. Why not? Because I think they're clear. I think they're the most articulate, concise. Walther, the kind of, what would we call it? The iconic Lutheran work.
Definitive.
Definitive is, the proper distinction of law and gospel by C.F.W. Walther. I learned law and gospel from the formula. I did not learn it from Walther.
Which predates Walther by like 300 years.
So yeah. So, who's right? No, yeah. I just appreciated it more. Honestly, I felt Walther was confusing, and I know that we'll probably have somebody who's really up in arms about me saying that. I felt like his work was a little bit long, arduous, and had some moments of confusion in there.
Yeah.
That's from my perspective. That's the reader's problem, probably not the writer's problem. I'll admit that.
Interesting.
But it's just this, what Brett's about to read, some of the best stuff that I have I've heard theologically.
We've got a live call coming in from St. Louis, Missouri right now. It's Eugene Walther, CFW, great-great-grandson.
Nice, yeah. All right, well, I will read at least the first paragraph here. It would be great to take time to read the whole thing, but there's two sections, affirmative theses, then antitheses. So the first paragraph, chief question at issue in this controversy. The question has been, is the preaching of the Holy Gospel, strictly speaking, only a preaching of grace, which proclaims the forgiveness of sins, or is it also a preaching of repentance and reproof that condemns unbelief, since unbelief is condemned not in the law, but wholly through the gospel? That's the start of this, the chief question.
It's a good start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This launches a couple of my big soapboxes, and I probably had these rants before. The first one is the word gospel needs to be regularly defined by Christian, because what ends up happening is we use gospel to justify any church activity simply by slapping it on there. So you get
the gospel pickleball team.
The gospel pickleball team, mm-hmm. the gospel senior tennis ministry, things like that. And it's like...
The gospel choir. You know, like gospel singers who really sing about what we have to do rather than what has been done.
And right? gospel as a genre of music. I mean, gospel all of music. These things, you know, it has to be defined. And Lutherans tend to be, at least in the eyes of other Christians, a little bit obnoxious on this level because we insist that there is more than one possible definition for the usage of a word, especially a theological term. And so we distinguish between the narrow and the broad sense of gospel, and that's exactly what Chemnitz and Andreae are getting after in this article, is that you can use the gospel to refer to the whole of the Christian life and the whole of Christian doctrine, or you can be talking about the good news of Jesus Christ on the cross in your place for the forgiveness of your sins.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that they had that same battle over words back in their day, where it needed to be said this clearly here in the article.
Well, it's kind of when it started. Well, it goes all the way back to the Greeks, but when Melanchthon and Luther talk about the sophists, it's people who are clever with their terms and their definitions in order to have a loophole in a logical argument. And so one of Luther's big things, one of Melanchthon's big things, all of the early Lutherans doubled down on, let's get to the sense of the thing so that we can talk about what we're talking about instead of talking past each other. And you'll find this to be the case if you try to have a conversation with your Catholic relative about grace and about salvation and things. You guys will be using the same words, but you won't be saying the same thing. Right. Yeah. Likely the same thing if you have a Mormon neighbor. You will be using the same terms, but you won't be referring to the same things. Right. And so we have to get down, before we talk about law and gospel, before we talk about law and gospel and how they function, we have to nail down the definition so we know what we're referring to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to ask people, what do you mean by gospel in this? Are you referring to this broad sense, or are you referring to this narrow sense? And I think, do you think this is also just a GAC kind of thing where they mix up? Like when people in that context talk about the gospel was preached, sometimes they're referring to calls to repent or calls to obey in a certain way?
I think it's a yes and no. Because we so frequently use the GAC, the generic American church, as a whipping boy, it's convenient. And I think this is more of just a human nature thing, is we're always addicted to asserting ourselves into the equation. And the GAC is the official church of the human nature, and so we kind of get that. I think the uniquely generic American church thing is the using the word gospel to excuse any churchly activity. I think that's uniquely American. Like, I want to say that 250 years ago, you know, like John Wesley and John Edwards were probably like not talking about the gospel turkey hunt for Thanksgiving in the colonies.
I have not heard as many of these things, like the gospel turkey hunt. I've heard of like the Christian or Bible, but I've never heard the gospel used in these type of things.
When I lived in Oklahoma...
Fair enough.
It's a Southern thing, but when I lived in Oklahoma for the year, it was gospel everything, and it was to justify an activity. And you just, once you hear it the first time,
it's like just
you
do the activity. You don't have to say,
You want to have a wild game feed? Just have a wild game feed. It's all right. No one's going to complain about venison. But don't call it the gospel wild game feed. you don't need it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking. No, well, the thing I think of is the church, and I think that there is a church called the Full Gospel Church.
Yes,
and I was like, what do they mean by the full gospel? You know, like, and so I looked it up, and it's like, you know, the fourfold. Yeah. Christ is Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and the soon coming King, or something like that. And so, like, you have all these different aspects of his life, kind of like, you know, talking about the ministry of Jesus from his humanity, from his divinity, like apotelismaticum, right, Brett? Something like that. I don't know if it's just looking at different aspects.
Thanks for saying that, so I don't have to say
and
it.
And I think I worked it in relatively close to how it should be used. But all this to say, like, you hear full gospel. The word gospel is thrown around. It's bandied around as though it's some sort of, you know, like you said. And I did not know about these game feeds. I would go. Whether you called it a gospel feed or a non-gospel feed, I'd show up. I'd be there, celebrate with you guys. But yeah, and I think the thing that you know, focused the reformers on this issue is the intention of wanting to make sure we understand the narrow sense of those two terms. Right, so law, the narrow sense, what I'm not going to quote the article, I'm just going to say it shorthand. The law is that which we must do, you know, the command of God that we must do, and the gospel is that which Christ has done. You know, that's the very shorthand version of it. But to keep those two distinct is the key of Lutheran theology, and it was that very thing that helped Christianity make sense to me, if I can say it like that. Yeah, not that Christianity had to make sense to me and for it to be my, you know, for it to save me. You know, I don't have to understand all of the details. But when I understood that, there was a transformative piece that came over me in recognizing that when I talk about what does the gospel mean in its narrow sense, what Christ has done, I bring nothing to that table. I do nothing in that whole equation. All of it is Jesus. All of it is his life and death and resurrection on my behalf, and all of the promises and blessings that come along with that, salvation, life eternal, etc. Yeah. So all of those things, I mean, it was such a powerful thing to me. And it was a paradigm shifting thing for me, because I was like what you would describe. I was the GAC idea of, you know, Jesus brought you to a point, but you got to finish the race yourself. Or they never say it like that, but that's how I felt. And I think most Christians would say that. If I were to ask our listeners, are you going, if you stood before the judgment seat of God, would you make it into heaven? And the answer is oftentimes, I hope so. And we, I think, are getting better about, you know, helping to catechize them in the right direction of saying, you know, no, it's Christal, and that's why, you know. But the whole idea is we want to have in our mind, the back of our mind, that somehow the law is also required, and somehow I have to do a little bit of that. But then we read Galatians and you recognize, you know, Paul's kind of against that. And therefore the Holy Spirit's kind of against that as well. This whole idea that we have to add anything to the complete and finished work of the gospel.
Was it you foolish Galatians who has bewitched you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wish you had
Slow down there, Brett. Yeah, we don't have the
settle down part. Now we know what we're doing for our New Testament study.
So, you know, thanks for saying that, Adam. And I think that you're not alone in that kind of story, especially thinking about our podcast of being Lutheran. And, you know, I would say if there's anything that would be the reason I'm a Lutheran today, me personally, would probably be this whole idea of the distinction of law and gospel.
Yeah, it's really powerful because, I mean, you know, like Adam said, it's not blatant, but I think a lot of churches teach that you got to have some skin in the game. So this is one of the empty phrases of Christianity, the empty terms. The first one, and I teach this in all my classes, the most meaningful sentence you can utter in the English language is, you've just got to believe. That is a sentence without meaning. And then it comes with two terms that are also meaningless. The first one is dead orthodoxy. Because if something's truly orthodox, it can't be dead, because it's according to the teaching
oxymoron.
Of Scripture. Yeah. The second one is cheap grace. Okay. If grace is grace, it can't possibly be cheap, because it came at the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But the opinio legis, the opinion of the law that works with us, means that we need some level of responsibility, or it can't be true. You know, it's we all of us humans suffer from, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And which means that we have a hard time reconciling that God would forgive us wholly for the sake of Jesus and not due to any contribution on our own. And so it's, we're always as in the simul, the simultaneously just and sinner, we're always the sinner's always looking for a way to insert ourselves into the equation, and this is where law and gospel comes in handy for the Christian life. Like what you two, you know, for me, the turning point was the idea that assurance of salvation was a reasonable thing, and then law and gospel came after it for me.
Interesting.
But it is there, and what's so interesting as they set this up in the formula, they kind of set it up in that way, is that law and gospel are great. They need to be properly, this quote is, the distinction between law and gospel is to be kept in the church with great diligence as a particularly brilliant light. And so probably what we want to set up before we get ready for next week's episode is the idea of what does it mean to properly divide law and gospel, because our first reflex is an overreaction. And the first reflex is, you know, like I did this in seminary when I started figuring out law and gospel, and I've watched people in my church do it and students of mine do it, is you hear about law and gospel, you're like, oh man, this is amazing, and you immediately want to go out and get a red highlighter and a green highlighter, you want to open your Bible up, and you're going to highlight all the gospel passages in green and all the law passages in red, and it's going to fundamentally change the way you read scripture, and then you say, no. That's not what this is talking about. In all of my hermeneutics classes, I teach law and gospel is not opposing forces. Law and gospel is the language that God speaks, that he is always and consistently speaking law and gospel through scripture. And that's what keeps us from falling into this first error, is gospel good, law bad. That's kind of where the formula sets us up.
That mentality, gospel good, law bad, it goes down to that you can't properly appreciate one without the other. You know,
if, like love and marriage.
you can't have one. Like, you could have one without the other. You could have law with no gospel. I don't know. I think that Jason's over here making some sort of look that I can't even describe rightly on the podcast. What is it?
That's
what are you going to say now, Jason?
Video element.
Here. I'm doctrinally speaking.
Oh, I'm not talking doctrinally. I'm saying that a statement of law can be used without the gospel. I'm not sure that the gospel can be used without the law. What I mean by that is this. I'm just going to use the example because I'm not talking technically.
Actually.
I'm not talking this way. Okay. So law, you can have law. I can tell you all day long what to do, and you can have the command and expectation hang over your head. But if you have the gospel by itself makes no sense unless the law has done its work. The gospel by itself is just, and it's that classic example, and this might even be apocryphal, I don't even know. It's that classic example of this guy flying on a plane. He was talking to a guy about Jesus and said, Christ died for your sins. He said, man, I'm sorry, that's too bad. Like, you didn't need to do for me, you know?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, doing fine, you know? So the gospel by itself, without understanding that there was one who endured the wrath of God in our place due to our sinfulness and our failure, it only makes sense in light of the law. In the other way, I mean, we have world religions created around the fact that law exists with no gospel.
Yeah.
So that's my point.
Philosophically, you're absolutely correct. From a Christian lens, that one of the things that we miss in law and gospel is that God's law is merciful. That if we didn't have the law, we would sin ourselves to death. You know, it was God's mercy that banned Adam and Eve from the garden after they fell, after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so my wince was.
We're talking about two entirely different categories.
But I like just making you feel awkward when you're talking.
Yeah, which is good because I talk so well on the fly that makes for good listening. Thanks a lot, Jason.
So this thing with law bad, gospel good, it's kind of what we want to flesh out before we talk about distinguishing them, because we don't want to put them in opposition to each other. There needs to be a distinction. This is how you end up with radical Lutheranism, is the idea that the law is bad because the law makes me feel bad. And if the law makes me feel bad, then all I really need is to hear about Jesus. And what ends up happening is this whole teaching gets corrupted into this knowledge that all I need is to be freed from the guilt of my sin. No, we certainly need to be freed from the guilt of our sin. But if all that Jesus does is free us from the guilt of our sin, then the outcome of the gospel is that God just wants us to feel better about being sinful. and there's no actual forgiveness. And so that's where you get that, you know, I'm good at sinning, Jesus is good at forgiving. It's a wonderful relationship. In that, you're still a sinner.
Yeah.
You haven't been absolved. You haven't been reconciled. And what we end up doing is either cheapening what Christ did on the cross for us, or we end up bringing God down to a human level where he's tolerating or ignoring or changing his opinion about sin. And that's not the gospel. And what we're going to find as we read through this article, mm-hmm. as we have our discussions, as we do our Bible studies, more and more often, that's going to click for you. And you end up saying, wait, that's not the gospel. It might sound gospel-y, it might be gospel-adjacent, but it's not the actual gospel. It's just like, okay, niceness is not the gospel. You know, social, yeah, sorry, Brett, this is where we can't get you in. The social gospel is not the gospel. You know, kindness and compassion on its own is not the gospel.
Right.
And once you can ferret that out, once you can make that distinction, you are well on your way of understanding what Chemnitz is talking about here in the formula.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the formula of Concord and Article 5 of Law and Gospel. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.